Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
We have the great privilege of welcoming our guests this morning. I say guests, but these guys are more like family. If you've been around Nations any time at all, you know that the Turner family is part of our family. And this trip, Pastor Corey has actually travelled with his beautiful wife, Simone, and his three lovely kids. Can you make them feel so welcome? You know what they say, behind every good man is an awesome woman. No exceptions in the Turner family. And we do thank and honour these guys because every single time Corey stood on this platform, and who knows, that's a lot of times, it's been these guys holding the fort at home that have released him. So we thank you so much because your hubby has been a great blessing to the house and continues to be. He's got an incredible word this morning. I just feel charged in my spirit to say this. There is nothing wrong with the seed, but we're all responsible for the condition of the soil. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the seed. The seed that he scatters this morning is good seed, no doubt about it. The condition of the soil that's on you and me, right? So let's take a posture of good soiled people. Get rid of the distractions out of your heart right now. Get rid of those rocks of whatever, you know. Distraction is the only word that's coming to me right now. Get rid of it. And posture yourself to receive from the man of God. Can you stand to your feet and honor? Give honor where honor is due. Pastor Corey Turner.
Thank you. Stay standing for just a moment. How is everybody today? We're good? Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for this new day that we have in you. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And we thank you, Father, that when we partner with you, when we join with you in faith, great things happen. And so, Lord, I pray today your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done in Myrie. May your will be done across Perth. May your will be done in Cambodia. Lord, may your will be done in Ireland. May your will be done, O God. Lord, wherever the sole of our feet shall tread upon, you have given to us. And I just ask today, God, that as I preach, let the spirit of faith rise in our hearts, rise in this house, rise in this room. Some of you walked in with all sorts of burdens, all sorts of obstacles in your way, in your vision, in your heart. But God is giving you keys today, tools to be able to speak to the mountains, the obstacles in your way to be removed. And Father, I just pray, come right now, Holy Spirit, let the miraculous power of the name of Jesus break out in this room, in this place today. Heal the sick, save souls, transform hearts, reconcile families, and in all of it, may the name of Jesus be glorified and lifted up. If you believe it today, come on, let's say amen and put our hands together and just honor the Lord one more time. As we get our seats, thank you so much. Well, thank you, Pastor Chrissy, for the welcome, and it's great to be back with our Perth family and just to be a part of what God's doing here. God's good, the sun is shining. The only disappointment was the Eagles won the grand final. That's the only disappointment. It's the only thing. I'm a parochial Victorian. That's coming from an Adelaide Crows supporter. He should be banished from this room. Why on earth have you let a Crows supporter into this state? I do not know. But anyway, I want you to go with me in your Bible to Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 3. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. And just want to read a few verses. If there was a passage of scripture that I would encourage you to commit to memory, this would be a good passage of scripture. Put it on your kitchen door, put it on the back of your toilet door, get it into your spirit. Yeah. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, or by it, the people of old received their commendation as righteous. And by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible, but was made out of, as a derivative of, as a fruit of, the spoken word of God. This morning, I want to speak to you about God's heavenly broadband network. You've heard of the National Broadband Network. Well, did you know that in the kingdom of God, there is a heavenly broadband network? Now, the house where we live suffers from internet connection problems. Is there anybody in the room today that can just feel my pain? And so it's a particular problem when we're watching Netflix and you've just spent an hour or 2 hours of your life that you're never going to get back, by the way. And you come to the climactic moment of the movie or the TV show, and all of the characters are going to be revealed for who they are, and the subplots are all going to converge together into the main big idea of the episode. And all of a sudden, the internet modem is like paralyzed and freezes up, and it doesn't matter how much holy water you throw on the internet modem or how many demons you cast out of that thing in Jesus' name. It's just not going to change. It's not going to go anywhere. And this is a perpetual frustration in our lives. And so the NBN, the National Online Communications Infrastructure, that's designed to improve the speed of online communications, is supposed to be the miracle, the solution, the answer to all of your questions in life and to all of the issues that you have when it comes to the internet. And I'm yet to see the fulfillment of that prophetic promise from the government in our house and in our home. But I began to think about how in the spirit world, in the kingdom of God, there is a heavenly broadband network. And if we don't plug into God's heavenly broadband network, we're going to have a breakdown of connection. We're going to have connection problems when it comes to our relationship with God. And so we can give and give and give and respond to the offering talk and give out of a right heart even, but not necessarily see a return or a harvest in our giving because it's not necessarily connected in to God's HBN. You can pray and pray and pray and pray some more, tire yourself out praying, but not necessarily see any answers or breakthrough to your prayers because we're not connected into God's heavenly broadband network. And then many of us, what we do is we blame the sovereignty of God and we say, oh, well, whatever will be. If God wills it, if God wants it, it will happen. But you need to understand something, that we've got to stop blaming the sovereignty of God for things that the spirit of faith inside of us must take responsibility for. You see, God's spirit or God's sovereignty will never do for you what God's spirit has commissioned you to do by faith. We have a partnership to play. We have a role to play with the presence of God and the Spirit of God on planet Earth. We are not robots. We are not those who just, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, whatever. God has created us for relationship and partnership. And God's heavenly broadband network is the spirit of faith. It's faith. Paul describes faith as almost like a spirit in Corinthians. Faith is a conductor of God's power. Doubt is an insulator from God's power. Many of us are approaching God, but approaching God wrestling with a whole lot of doubt. And God's not necessarily, alarmed by that. But when you're living this kingdom life from a place of doubt rather than a place of faith, there is a lack of a manifestation of the promises and the presence of God at work in our lives. In Mark 9:23, a father with a son that had been tormented by demons and was sick was brought to Jesus. And this father said, if you can do anything, Jesus, I'm not too sure whether you can. I've got an idea that you can. But if you can do anything, then please help. And Jesus is like, if I can do anything, all things are possible for the one who believes. And this father says, I believe, but help my unbelief. I wonder if you're facing anything right now in your life where you say, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but I'm wrestling with a whole lot of doubt-filled questions. I believe, but I'm not really sure whether you're actually going to come through in this arena of my life. And if we're not careful, we can become what I call unbelieving believers. Where we sort of profess it, our faith, but we don't necessarily believe it or live it in our hearts and in our lives. Science has broken the sound barrier. Humanity has broken the sin barrier. I think it's time for some believers to break the doubt barrier. Where are there barriers and obstacles of doubt in your life? Many of us approach God based upon our needs. You need healing, or you might need a financial breakthrough or reconciliation in your marriage, or you need. And so we think that because we have a need, that God is obligated to perform a miracle on our behalf and meet our need because we have a need. And we quote things like, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now that is true. But God is not moved by your need as much as he is moved by your faith. There are many needs in this room. Many needs in the city of Perth, the nation of Australia. Not all of those needs are met. Not because God doesn't love you. Not because God doesn't care about your need. Not because God is not interested in meeting that need. But he's looking for faith. Yeah. Hebrews 11:6 does not say without need it's impossible to please God. It says without faith it is impossible to please God. For he or she who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Many of us live in our walk with God with this idea that we've got to earn favor, that we've got to somehow get his attention through our works. Works will never attract God. It's your faith. You don't even need to be the most perfect person in your behavior, and that's no excuse for a lack of holiness. The Bible says without holiness, no one shall see the Lord, but I've seen God use some people that in my judgment and my perspective, he shouldn't be using that way. How dare God use that person that way? I mean, doesn't he know all the issues that's going on in his personal life? Have you ever thought yourself that to yourself? You haven't because you're so holy and spiritual, but I have. And I'm like, you know what? It's like, God, you shouldn't be doing that. There's this issue and this problem in their life. And yet God uses all of us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our imperfections, in spite of our brokenness, because when he looks at you, he sees Jesus on the cross. And when he looks at you, he looks at where is your faith at. It's about your faith. Wherever your faith goes, that's where God goes. God follows faith. God moves with faith. And so there can be a ministry, a church, an individual who doesn't have this right, doesn't have that right, doesn't have that right, but they've got faith right. And God says, there I am, there I am, there I am, here's more. And we're trying to get everything worked out in our life right. And God's saying, no, come back. I'm looking for faith. You see, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is written to persecuted believers who are under pressure, who are capitulating under the weight of give up your faith. Why are you following him? Return back to works, the Mosaic law, your own efforts. Why on earth are you putting your faith in Jesus Christ? And the first 10 chapters of the book of Hebrews builds a foundation for why we can move into Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 and live out our faith practically. If you don't have a good why for your what, you'll never sustain the what. The why has got to be in place. The why has got to be sustainable for our what, our faith, to actually be activated and for it to function and for it to work. So too in our culture, there is pressure from the spirit of the world. In all different aspects of life, business, media, education, just in the natural physical environment, because it's been marked by sin and brokenness, there is this pressure to give up faith in Jesus Christ, to step back into a life of reason and logic and what you can do in your own strength, rather than stepping into faith and accessing the supernatural realm that is available to us in the kingdom. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Implying that people of faith will be a rare breed species of people in the last days. And so we need to understand about faith. I don't think we talk enough about faith, because you begin in the kingdom by faith, you're sustained in the kingdom by faith, and you step into eternal life for all eternity by faith. The spirit of faith, as Paul describes in Corinthians, possesses God's now will for your life. Not yesterday's will, not necessarily tomorrow's will, but God's now will in your life. How do I know that? Because the Hebrew writer begins with, now faith is. You've got to understand the present tense nature of faith. Now faith is. Not so much tomorrow, not so much yesterday, but today. His mercies are new every morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. God wants to do something in your today. Just as much as he might have been working in your past, just as much he cares about you tomorrow, he wants to move in your life today. But in order for you to partner with his now purpose for your life, you've got to understand God's nature, his eternal nature. He operates outside of the time and space continuum. He is not bound by time, space, and matter. He's not influenced by the same obstacles, the same barriers as we are with time, with space, and with matter. He comes to Moses, and Moses is looking at the issues, the obstacles in time, space, and matter in Egypt with the greatest nation on the planet at that time. Israel's in slavery. God calls Moses to go and be a deliverer of God's people. And Moses says, whom shall I say sent me? And God says, tell them I am sent you. Now, I don't know about you, but I would, if God said that to me, I'd be like, that's not very helpful. I mean, at least like, tell me, you know, the master creator of the solar systems of all the galaxies of all the universe has sent me. But all he said was, I am. Just tell him I am sent you. I am who I am. What was he saying? He was downloading a revelation to Moses about his eternal nature. He was saying, before you were Moses, I am. As you are now, I still I am. And now after you are gone, I still will be I am, because I am eternal. And Moses, if you are going to access my I am eternal nature on behalf of my people, you're going to need to step out in faith. You're going to need to understand that faith reaches into the eternal, natural, supernatural realm of God's nature and possesses his now will for your life, for your situation. The prophet Isaiah understood this. When the Lord spoke through him and said, behold, God, I'm doing a new thing. Now, everybody say now. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? How much of God's now will for our lives have we missed out on because we had a lack of faith to perceive what God was actually trying to do in our lives? Now, when Jesus moved in miracles, it was because he moved out of this awareness, this revelation of what was in the Father's heart right now in that moment for people. Jesus said, I only ever do that which I see my Father doing. So Jesus had the type of relationship, yes, he was fully and properly God, but he was also fully and properly man. There was a now revelation in his heart of what the Father wanted to do, and by faith, he stepped into that, and what was in the natural realm an obstacle. Someone was blind. The lady had an issue with blood. There was something going on in a family. Someone died. God's now will intervened because God found someone in his Son that he could entrust the responsibility of the miraculous, because Jesus operated by faith even though he was the Son of God. Many of us are waiting for God to do something that God's waiting for our faith to do. And all of God's promises are yes and amen. We heard Pastor Christy say that in the prayer time. All of God's promises through Christ Jesus are yes and amen. And that's true. But there are 5,476 promises in the Bible. Which of them have you come into agreement with by faith? I heard a great man of God in this country, planted nearly 500 churches around the world, amazing ministry, say that he has only conceived in his spirit, in his ministry, in his life, 12 promises of God in the Bible. There's 500 churches, thousands of people saved. All of this happened, and he says only 12. That I can say by faith, my faith and God's promise have joined together and birthed something supernatural. Now, the first time I heard that, I felt depressed, right? Second time I heard that, as I began to meditate upon it, I was like, I'm challenged by that. Because whilst all 5,476 promises are yes and amen, only the ones I come into agreement with by faith will actually birth the supernatural in my life. Will actually see something be established in my life that I can point to and say, that's God. And the challenge with this is, what a lack of faith doesn't agree with, our flesh will try and manipulate into happening. Because you've been built with desire. You've been built in the image and likeness of God. You want things. You've been built to be more than a conqueror. Yeah. You've been hardwired to exercise dominion. Yeah. It's way back there in the beginning. You've been called. You've been, even if you don't know Jesus today, you're made in the image and likeness of God. You've been hardwired with certain desires to achieve certain things, to go after certain things that can only be fully realized in Christ by faith. But what you cannot possess by faith, if you don't come into agreement with, your flesh is going to try and make happen. And so Israel are at the foot of the promised land, and God says, because of your lack of faith, which is an offense to me, you're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness, and a generation is going to die out until I can raise up a generation of faith to possess the promised land. And Israel go, well, if that's the case, let's go in. And of course, like, too late. And they pick up their weapons. They try and march into the promised land. And they get, you know, basically their backsides handed to them by the Canaanites and Amalekites. Why? Because they tried to achieve something in God by the flesh that can only be possessed by faith. Anything that God has for you, anything that is in the purpose and destiny and intention of God for your life, cannot be, will not be possessed by the arm of the flesh. Will only be possessed by the spirit of faith. It's not by might, Zechariah says. It's not by your power. It's by my spirit. But it's not just the spirit of God. It's by your faith in partnership with the spirit of God. You see, Israel spent 40 years waiting for something that only needed 11 days. How many years have we spent in the wilderness over issues that should have only taken days? That's a scary proposition. That's a scary reality. I do not want to wait a decade for something that only should take a few days. I don't want to wait a lifetime for something that should only take a few weeks. And so if we're going to possess the fullness of God's promises for our lives, His intention, His will, then we're going to start to realize that it only is going to be possessed by faith. You see, faith is not only present tense, it's defined by two things. Faith is assurance and conviction in something, in a thing, in a goal, in a person. Faith is not presumption. Faith is not optimism. You can be in the self-help industry. You can be in corporate the corporate sector. You can be attending sort of networking events and you'll get a lot of presumption, a lot of optimism, a lot of self-confidence building principles and tips, but you won't necessarily access the spirit realm. You won't necessarily see the power of God move in your life because faith is more than presumption and optimism. Optimism and confidence may be in the orbit or the galaxy of faith, but is not what faith is. The Hebrew writer says faith is assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. God, I'm assured that I have received the gift of eternal life and the gift of salvation. You'd be amazed how many believers do not have assurance that they're saved. They spend their lives in a spiritual wilderness trying to earn something that is already available to them by faith. Do you have assurance in the thing, in the person of who Jesus is for your own salvation? Do you have a conviction that even though you haven't seen the promise materialize yet, and even though your circumstances are a contradiction to the word, do you have a conviction that your eyes will see what your spirit sees, but you're not presently seeing? We walk by faith, not by sight. You see, I've learned faith needs an object. It needs a thing for it to work. Faith lies dormant where it lacks a goal. It needs an object. It needs a thing. So when Jesus, you know, did the original Michael Jackson moonwalk across the Sea of Galilee, before MJ, there was JC, and so JC is there, and he's walking across the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples are freaking out. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Jesus. And Peter, he gets over his fear, gets over his freak out, and for all of Peter's issues, for all of Peter's problems and mistakes, there's one thing Peter had, and that's the gift of faith. He was an apostle of faith. In fact, the scholars know him as this. The scholars refer to him as this because of, even though he had all of these issues, the heart of God was drawn to him because of his faith. Yeah. And Peter looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Because Peter understood something we have got to understand. If Jesus says it, that settles it. Yeah. If God speaks it, that settles it. All of hell could be against me. The gates of hell shall not even prevail against the building of the church, Jesus said. If all my circumstances say it's not going to happen, but I've got a word from heaven, let me tell you something. If he says it, that settles it. And it isn't until sometimes we're backed into a financial corner, backed into a physical corner, backed into a relational corner, that we actually find and touch and taste of that faith. Don't wait until your life is in a crisis before you learn to operate in a spirit of faith, before you learn to live the life of faith. Don't wait until you have to before you get to. You should be just walking in it now. Why? Because is there any other way to live in the kingdom of God? Is there any other way of approaching your relationship with God than through the filter of faith? And Jesus looks at Peter and says, I like where your head's at. I like where your faith is at. Come. And in that one word was all the provision that Peter needed to step out of the boat, defy the laws of gravity, and walk on top of the water. It was only until Peter got his heart off the word. The Bible says that he looked at the wind and the waves around him, but they were already there before he stepped out of the boat. The circumstances were already there. It was only until he took his eyes, the eyes of faith, off the word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and his eyes onto the circumstances, that he began to sink. There is a supernatural capacity, grace, ability in God that will sustain you even in the paradoxes, the contradictions, and the adverse circumstances of life, but you cannot get the eyes of faith off the word that God has given to you. It's not even just about reading the word. It's about, God, what are you saying to me today? I know lots of people, not lots of scholars in university, that treat this book as a piece of literature and it doesn't change their life. But it's not just the case of the habit and routine of reading it. It's a case of God, speak to me out of it. Speak to my heart. A word in season. An aha light bulb moment. And when God speaks, that settles it. You see, my faith has a future. Your faith has a future today because our faith is not based upon any old thing or ideology or philosophy. Our faith is based in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And so the Hebrews 1-10 was written to build a foundation for why we can exercise our faith in everyday life. Because Jesus once and for all sacrificed on the cross, and when Jesus said, "It is finished," it has accomplished everything that we need to walk in victory over sin, Satan, and death in our lives. 1 John talks about what is the victory that has overcome the world? Our faith. Everyone who has been born of the seed of faith, born of the Spirit, has overcome the world, and this is the victory. It's our faith. And so we're not placing our faith in a pastor or a preacher. We're not placing our faith in the latest book from Koorong Christian Bookstore. We're placing our faith in the person of Jesus, in his once and for all sacrifice on the cross. When you put your faith in the object of who Jesus is, your faith has a future. Not only that, but the entire foundation of your relationship with God is by grace through faith. It's by your faith that God commends you as righteous. The Bible says, "For by faith, the people of old, the heroes of the faith, received their commendation as righteous." So when Noah built an ark and there was no evidence of rain, God looks at that and says, "That's righteous." When Abraham and Sarah are 190 years old and their biology is no longer capable of conceiving and giving birth to a child, and yet they believe the promise and it happens, God says, "I like that. That's righteous." You see, God repeats 4 times in the Bible, "The righteous live by faith." Without righteousness, we suffer from impotence. Our walk with God is impotent. But what righteousness has done, what faith in God and what faith accesses in Christ, turns our impotence into his omnipotence, and we begin to see the omnipotent, almighty, or powerful hand of God actually start to work in our lives. You see, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. If grace is the river of living water, faith is the pipeline. You can talk about grace all you want. You can go to the Grace Conference, read the Grace book. You can do everything and talk about grace. But let me tell you something. If there's no pipeline, there's no water coming to your soul. There's grace available here for every area of your life. But without the pipeline of faith, you cannot receive the fulfillment or the fruit or the outcome of the power of God's grace at work in your life. Faith not only accesses grace, but faith perceives in the Spirit what reason can't comprehend in the natural. The Hebrew writer says, "By faith, we understand." Our culture has replaced that by saying, "By education, we understand. By logic, we understand. By reason, we understand." Now, I'm pro-education. I would encourage you to get as educated as you possibly can. But here's the deal. If your education is greater than your revelation of faith, you're going to struggle to live by faith. And God has this very uncomfortable habit of asking us to do things that are unreasonable, illogical, and contradict our education. Is anyone awake this morning? Because many of us, we attend church, we hear messages, we hear the worship leaders lead us,
but there is no life change in any area of our lives. And we just go through the motions and the rituals of church because that's what we do. But God did not save you. God did not give his one and only son to you as a gift, as a free gift. God did not pay the ultimate price for you to attend and go through the motions of religious ritual and not access the kingdom of God in your life. You are not going to access the kingdom because you sit in a chair. You're going to access the kingdom because you say, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in your word. And because I believe, I'm going to do something about it. That's when you begin to see God move in your life. Please don't tell me. Just something's got on me. Please don't tell me. Do not tell me. God is speaking to this service. God is speaking to this room. Don't tell me you're going to spend your entire lifetime going through the motions of a religious ritual and attending church and never access something in the kingdom of God. Please don't tell me that's how you're going to live your life. Because let me tell you something. I don't have time to attend another meeting. I don't have energy. I am not interested in going through the motions of religious ritual just to feel Christian or just to justify myself. I want all that God has made available to me. I want all of his promises to not just be yes and amen, but to manifest in my life. And whatever I've got to do, whatever I've got to mix up, shake up, turn around, upside down, right side up, I'm going to do and I'm going to access it by faith. Why? Because that's what Jesus lived, died, and rose again to give me. He said, I have given you life in all of its fullness and all of its abundance. Why are we settling for a mediocre, half-baked, half-full, half-abundant life? I want all of it. My life may have issues, problems, and tribulations, but let me tell you something. We're not going to die wondering, baby. We're going to go after this thing, and it all comes back to faith. And so what often happens is a lot of the church sits back and is the cheerleader of the dude up the front with all the stories. But what we've come to realize is that we're not here in the kingdom to cheerlead a preacher or a prophet or an apostle or a pastor. I'm actually here to equip you to do the work of the ministry, to live life in the kingdom of God. And I just sense in my heart this morning that God is wanting to shake the salt shaker up of this room. To just begin to challenge some of you about how comfortable your Christianity is. I did not do this in the first service. And you need to know I love you with all of my heart. I really do. We could go have lunch and latte afterwards. And we would have the best time. But let me tell you something. God has sent me here to challenge your comfort zone this morning. You've got to make a decision in your life. I'm not going to live by reason and logic and comfort zone alone. Because that is not the life of the kingdom. God's given you a brain to use. He's given you reason. He's given you logic. Those things will serve you well. But there comes a time when the voice of God comes and asks you to do something absolutely illogical, absolutely unreasonable. And whether or not you walk into the fullness of that will be based upon your obedience by faith to what he said. So when my father has a malignant tumor on his tongue, and he goes to reason, and reason says, we're going to cut out half your tongue because, you know, this thing's going to take your whole tongue and we're going to protect your body, et cetera, et cetera. We'll look after you. Great, awesome, amazing. And the test results came back, cancerous growth. My dad picks up his Bible, goes to the front altar of the church, and for the next 5 days, seeks God, prays, and confesses, consults faith instead of reason, and begins to declare over his life, by his stripes, I am healed. He forgives all of my iniquity. He heals all of my diseases. And begins to declare over his life what faith says. It's illogical. It's unreasonable. The test results are there. But what reason will not access by, in the spirit realm, faith will. And my dad goes back and the doctor said, we've got to retest your tongue because the growth has changed. And they retest it, and he brings out the original test results, compares it with the latest test results, and says, we don't need to operate because it is no longer malignant, it is benign, and I don't understand. And my dad said, it's okay, I understand. Because what faith, what reason will not access and understand, faith understands. By faith we understand. Let me tell you, my life, our family, is a living, breathing reality of by faith we understand. Everything God's asked us to do did not make sense at that time. Totally logical, totally unreasonable, but I'm so glad that even though I've been uncomfortable for most of my Christian life, this is what I've learned. If you're going to live in the kingdom and you're going to live by faith, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Just get comfortable. I remember when someone on my board told me that, I went home and I said, Lord, I'm not happy about him. I want him off my board. He's making me very uncomfortable. I don't like this. But all of a sudden I realized, you know what, that's the life of faith. And what is uncomfortable in your flesh will get comfortable in your spirit. And you'll have a peace that guards your heart and guards your mind. And you'll have a faith that rises up and says, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is all going to work out. But all I know is he's calling me out of the boat. He's calling me out of the water. He's sending me to Cork Island. He's sending you to the nations. He's sending you to different places. You can't have a nation changing life and ministry if you aren't living a nation changing reality and lifestyle with Jesus every day of your life. It comes back to your faith. You see, for faith to materialize what's invisible into the visible realm, it's got to be activated. We hear it, we say, awesome, amen. Some of you cursing me right now, that's okay. But others are like, yep, awesome, amen. Yes and amen. I'm with you, let's do it. But it now has to be activated. And it's activated by what you hear, by what you declare and what you obey. But what you hear, declare and obey. The universe was created by the word of God. The universe is a derivative, an outcome, the fruit of a spoken word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So when God gets ready to create in your life a new move of the Spirit, a new work of God in your life, he first speaks it. And if he speaks it, we've got to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I hear it, I declare it, and then I obey it. I declare it. I don't just hear the word, but I walk around and I start declaring God's rhema now inspired word. Don't just confess the logos written word, declare the rhema inspired word out of your mouth. Some of us are living off what God said rather than what God's saying. This whole book, Genesis to Revelation, is true, sufficient, and is sustainable for faith, life, and practice. But not all of it is relevant to you right now. Certainly not the book of Leviticus. It could be. But if you don't read, if you don't open up, if you don't position yourself, you won't know what's God's now rhema word for your life. But there is something in the word of God for every person in this room right now that is totally relevant. It's not about what God said, it's what he's saying. So you've got to hear it, you've got to declare it, and then you've got to obey it. Faith is obedience to the point of risk. If there's no risk, if there's no margin for error, it's not faith. You can do it in your strength. So people tell me, I'm living the life of faith. I say, what are you risking? When was the last time you did something out of your comfort zone? Oh, no, but I'm living the life of faith. No, if there's no risk, it's not faith. Faith is obedience to the point of risk. I don't know the outcome, but I'm stepping out. And so when we needed $100,000 to build a part of the facility of the church that we were leading years ago, we didn't have it. We prayed, my wife and I. God spoke. I'm going to give you the money. Brilliant. Amazing. I heard the word fresh. Then I started to walk around the house declaring it, prophesying it. Then the next thing God said, and by the way, I want you to run from Sydney to Melbourne, 1,172 kilometres to raise the money. No, this is not God. This is the devil. This is the pit of hell. No, I've bad pizza from last night. Not good. Not okay. And God's like, no, no, no. It is me speaking. But faith apart from works is dead. I hear it. I declare it. 3.5 months later, we launch out from Hillsong Church, Sydney. 2 weeks later, we land at our church. And instead of $100K, there's $160,000. Why? Because we heard, we declared, we obeyed. Some of us are hearing and not declaring. Some of us are hearing and declaring but not obeying. Ernesto, you can hear and even declare. God has called us to Cork Island. But until you get on that plane and move everything over there, you're not obeying what you heard or what you declared. And then we go, that's amazing, war, that's incredible. Oh, I wish I could do that. You can. It's called hearing, declaring, obeying. It's the life of faith. Let me tell you something. God's heavenly broadband network is not limited by the size of your mountain. It's not like God is looking up at your mountain at the moment going, what are we going to do? Let's consult the angels. He's scratching his head. I just am at a loss. I didn't know this was coming. I just didn't know that that obstacle was there. No, God looks down upon your mountain. He created Mount Everest. He knows what to do with mountains. And he says, listen, my HBN is not limited by the size of your mountain. My HBN is only limited by what you are doing or not doing with the size of your faith. So when the father brings his son, who's been tormented by demons, to Jesus, and the disciples firstly had a go, they couldn't cast the demons out. The disciples say to Jesus, why the disconnect? Why isn't the heavenly broadband network working for us? Why is Netflix freezing up? Why isn't it working? Why is the internet modem not working on our behalf? And God says, because of what you're not doing with your little faith. Jesus says, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, which tells me they had less faith than a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will obey you. I want to invite you to stand to your feet with me today.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.